What would you say makes people free?
The chances are we've probably come up with a similar thing in all our heads. Something along the lines of freedom must be living without constraints. Or maybe you define it as the ability to do whatever you want when you want to. Or you might even define it as the ability to be whoever you want when you want to. And the chances are, we've all got kind of these similar ideas of what it means to be free, because we all live and breathe in a culture that loves freedom. It's the story that we hear all the time. In fact, it might even be the story that gets sold to us more than any other. Think about if you've ever been to university. Before you went to university, what did people say? Well, it's the place where you can be free, where you can decide who you are. Or maybe someone's trying to entice you to a career. And what do they say? Come work for us. Because when you work for us, you'll feel free. It's freeing to work here. It's also the definition that we're brought up with in Disney films, right, isn't it? This is Disney's bread and butter. We're breaking free, we're soaring, we're flying. As Troy sings in High School Musical, as he fights the stereotypes of what it means to be a basketball player. No rights, no wrongs, no rules for me. I'm free. Let it go. As Elsa breaks free from having to hide her princess powers. We're going to spend a little more time thinking about one more quote. It's on the top of the sheet. And it's a quote from Letty Lutz in The Greatest Showman. She is the bearded lady, if you've seen this, if you've seen The Greatest Showman. And she's had to live through a life of being put down, of being crushed, of not being free. And then she gets this moment in the film where she kind of releases herself and she gets this anthem. She sings, "When the sharpest words want to cut me down, I'm going to send a flood, I'm going to drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised." And this is the key line, "I am whom I am meant to be, this is me." This moment she gains freedom from her past is this moment where she drowns everyone else out and is herself. And it's really compelling. In fact, all these kind of ideas, this story of freedom that we live in, is very compelling. And doesn't it fly in the face of Christianity? In fact, in that very scene, as Letty Lutz sings her freedom anthem, there is a man holding up a poster saying, "Freaks are God's mistakes." And even if today you don't know much about Christianity, the chances are you've heard of some of the rules. So you might have heard of the Garden of Eden, "Do not eat of the fruit." You might have heard of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not have another God besides me. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery." It's all rules, it seems. And to the idea that freedom is throwing off expectations, throwing off rules, and being yourself, well, surely we should get rid of Christianity, because it flies right in the face of that. That's not the freedom we want. What I want to do tonight is simply compare the cultural story, the story that we hear, to a story that Jesus tells. Jesus tells a story in Luke's gospel, a historical account of Jesus' life, which really sums up the story of the Bible. And it has something quite interesting to say about freedom. So if you've got the handout or access to it, you can grab it now, because we're going to read this story that Jesus tells. And see, the start of the story is absolute, perfect Disney freedom. See, the little number 11, I'll start reading. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country." I mean, this is the dream, isn't it? This is the absolute Disney dream. He's got some resources. He's got absolutely no restraints, no rules to follow. He can go off and be himself. He can say, "This is me." It's freedom, isn't it? But then the story continues. Look back down at the next little paragraph. There he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Can you see how sad this is? This young man left his father to become free. And it looks like he ends up as a slave. What Jesus is saying in this story is massively, massively offensive. He's saying, you want to find freedom away from the Father, away from God, by letting go and going off by yourself, then what you'll find is slavery. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus puts it really, really clearly. He says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. He's saying the story, the cultural story that we hear time and time again, is a lie. I'm just going to move my microphone up. He says it's a lie. It's offensive, massively, massively offensive. But here's the thing, the more I think about it, and in fact, the more that I've seen this cultural story play out in real life, the more I have to agree. Here's a few reasons. Here's a few reasons why I think this cultural story that says brings freedom actually brings slavery. See, the cultural story says, go, be the real you. This is you. But problem number one, the real me is an absolute mess. I'm told to look inside to find what I really want, to be who I really am. But I have no idea what that is. I want one thing one day, a different thing the next. One night I want to do something with all my heart, the next morning I'm ashamed of it. I can't seem to trust my real self. Being told to just look inside to solve problems ends up creating more of them. And it's scary and it's offensive that Jesus would call us sinners. But it does make sense of how I act. I mean, I can't go a day without thinking or saying something that I regret or that hurts someone. I wonder if anyone can. See, I have this natural born propensity, there you go, to be selfish. I'm a slave to my own desires. I'm a real mess. I think Russell Brand kind of famously was a celebrity who went through some drug addiction. And he says something really obvious to this kind of, you get freedom by looking into yourself. He says in his kind of journey to recovery, if the answer to solving your issues was inside yourself, then why haven't I found it yet? It seems so simple. The problem is, I'm a real mess. Number two, the problem with the kind of cultural story of freedom is that I might be able to kind of get rid of everyone else's expectations of me, but that just leaves me crushed by my own. See, if we have to look inside ourselves to find ourselves, then the onus is on us to create an identity that we're proud of. And who has ever done that? Our life is like this big, like, open canvas that we're told to kind of paint on, and it's terrifying to make a mistake. I think this quote from Heidi Grant really sums it up well. You must be perfectly awesome in order to keep believing that you are. So you live in quiet terror of making mistakes and feel devastated when you do. Your only defense is to refocus your attention on all the things you do well, mentally stroking your own ego until it is forgotten, that horrible episode of unawesomeness, and moved on to something more satisfying. When you think about it, it doesn't sound like a recipe for success, does it? We keep on being told, look inside, find your glorious inner hero. But what if our inner hero turns out to be elusive? What if the self we discover within turns out to be weak, vulnerable, and dependent? In the end, even if we find freedom by shaking off other people's expectations of us, we are just crushed by our own. Number three, the reason why I think this cultural story brings slavery is it destroys relationships. See, this attitude of this is me and I find freedom falls apart when it comes to relationships. Because you see, loving relationships rely on giving up freedom for the sake of someone else. Look, thank you, Hannah, for being in our interview. But imagine if Hannah actually used Disney lines in her real life. She says to Andy, I've actually decided I'm going to go on a 2-week holiday and I'm going to leave you with the kids. Andy says, rightly, what the heck, Hannah? You can't do that. And she just sings, no rights, no wrongs, no rules for me. Andy, don't you see? I'm free. Or Chloe comes up with cute little eyes and asks Hannah, could you help me with my homework? To which she replies, no, I don't do homework. That's not me. See, relationships rely on giving up freedom for the sake of something else. And sometimes we get to give up our freedom for a very special relationship. And I think this is where Jesus, in his story, moves from the problem to actually giving a better answer. If you want to look back, we're going to pick up the story again at the little number 17. He says this, when he came to his senses, that's the young man, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. See, this young man realizes that the solution is not to let it go and run away from the Father. It is to come back. And as a side note, isn't that just a bit freeing? Knowing that's the solution to how we often find ourselves is not just convincing ourselves that we're perfect and we're good. It's actually saying, I can't do this by myself. Oh, hello. We need to just wiggle around to turn the lights on.
Carry on.
Oh, there you go. And finally, we finally see what happens. Okay, look back at the kind of last paragraph. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. So they began to celebrate. Now my question is, Jesus has now told this story. When did the young man become free? When did the young man become free? Was it when he left home or when he came back home? You see, this is the key to the Christian answer to freedom. And it's the complete opposite of the cultural story. You do not become free when you run away from constraint. That just ends up in slavery. You become free when you are where you belong. You become free when you are where you belong. In the loving relationship with a Father God who made you and loves you still. Now that might sound just a bit out there, just kind of a convenient Christian answer. But think about it for a second, because I think we catch glimpses of this true story. Think about your closest relationship. The relationship in which you are most loved, most secure, and most free to really be yourself without fear of being made fun of, without fear of being shamed. Think about that relationship, whoever it might be with. The chances are that is the very relationship in which you are most constrained. See, in lots of relationships, there are constraints. There are rules that you have to follow. But you would follow them for the sake of that relationship, for the sake of belonging in that relationship. For Hannah, it's her children and Andy. For me, it's my wife, Becca. See, that relationship with Beckett is the most constrained I have. I can't have romantic relationships with anyone else. I don't even have control over all my money or all my time. But there is no other relationship in which I am more loved. No other relationship I am more free. No other relationship where I belong more. And I really want you to see that a relationship with God can give you that kind of freedom. Let's just revisit those three big problems with culture's story of freedom. See, if we really are a mess, then we want to be a son and not a servant. Because if you are a mess as a servant, Well, then you're fired or you're punished. If you are a mess as a child of God, you are helped. And God's heart goes out to you. See, the cultural story of freedom makes expectation unbearable. To belong, I have to work really hard. To belong at work, I need to be really good at working. To belong at university, I need to be really clever. To belong in a relationship, I need to be really beautiful. The expectation in Jesus' story is to come home to the place you already belong. Finally, relationships. If our relationships don't just exist to further our freedom or our enjoyment, they won't be destroyed. See, if we really embrace what it means to be in a relationship with a God who loves us, then we can be free to serve others, just like Hannah told us earlier. You are released to love. See, freedom in Christianity is not about escaping constraint or rules. It is about being where you belong, in a loving relationship with God, where you can be really free. Thank you very much for listening. We can kind of take a minute and then take some questions. I'll hand back over to Johnny.
Okay, yeah, thanks so much, Connor. Time for Q&A, so let me give you a sort of a minute and a half to just process your thoughts. If you're on Zoom, then do type a question into the chat, and then I'll read them out to Connor. If you're here, then obviously you can just ask a question. Okay, so a minute to gather your thoughts, and then we'll carry on with Q&A.
Okay. Question from Andy. Would anyone like to look after our kids so that we can go on a spa day? Connor?
Becca might.
Okay, there you are. Becca might. It's thumbs up from Becca. There you are. Look at that. Okay. Anyone here got a question that's burning? Gemma, thank you. Go for it.
Obviously, we're in a lockdown at the moment.
Okay, let me just repeat that for those on Zoom. We're in lockdown at the moment, lots of restrictions, lots of constraints, lots of people feeling burdened by that. Any advice, really, for how to handle that? And is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily think I'm the best person to answer that question. All I can say that with me and Becca, and I guess in a sense it comes back to what we're talking about, is the more acutely I am understanding my relationship with God, the easier life has been living in lockdown together. And what I mean by that is I'm less likely to seek my own freedom at the expense of hers. Because that's all what we really want, isn't it? We all want to be free. The problem is that we can be awfully selfish. I haven't got any advice of what to do. That's not my jam. But the closer we sink into our understanding of our relationship with our Father, the better we'll be able to love the people that we're locked down with. So there you go. There's 2p.
Yeah, thanks, Connor. So, yeah, relationship with God and then also relationship with others, I suppose, and giving ourselves to others.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, here's a question. How do we communicate the goodness of relationship to those who may never have experienced a good one or a loving one?
Yeah, I think that is a good question. And I'm acutely aware that this story is about kind of a father-son dynamic. And that's not easy for everyone.
I do think, though, kind of what is true in the Bible when it talks about freedom in and the goodness of giving up your freedom in a relationship is true in every relationship, right? So I guess what I'm saying is that even if you've... The very fact that you've never had a good relationship probably points towards the fact that this cultural story is a lie and has messed up relationships, right? The more we believe that we find freedom by looking inwards, the more people we hurt outwards. So wouldn't it be an awesome thing if people understood the freedom that they could find in Christ, in God, because that would release them to being great friends, to be great partners, to be great parents. And even if we've never felt that ourselves, we can get a sense of what that could be like. And in fact, the fact that we haven't experienced that, if we do have terrible relationships in our life, I think it probably highlights how good a relationship with God could be. There you go.
Yeah, thank you, Connor. Okay, any more here? Not for now. Okay, well, thank you, Connor, so much. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. If tonight has raised questions and got you thinking about freedom and Jesus and the relationship with God and the freedom that that brings, living in sync with our Creator who loves us, then please don't let those questions just sort of float away. Do get in touch with a Christian friend or someone here at CCB. If you're local, then we're still meeting in person every Sunday morning and evening here at Chestnut Grove in Balham, and on Zoom as well. So details on the website. We'd love to meet you and be in touch. But that's all from us tonight. So if you're a regular, then you'll know about Connect groups going on this week. If you're not in one and would like to, then please do get in touch with me or with Andy on the chat or through the website. Otherwise, we'll be back here next week. No, we won't. Oh, yes, we will. Okay, we will, but we won't. So it's a bit different next week. Next week is like a bonus because we weren't going to have one, but the plan, the sort of schedule changed because Bishop Paul was going to come and do something in the evening, but he's now coming in the morning. So the evening is now free. And Andy and I were just chatting the other day, oh, what should we do? And we thought, well, maybe we just have a bonus Q&A and we'll raise some things and look back over the last few weeks and just a chance to ask any questions on anything, really. And we'll see what happens. So something like that next week. We'll send out more details through the week. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Farewell, Zoomers. Have a good evening. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.